Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 309, Episode 3 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it is Wednesday, October 18th, 2023. What are we looking at?
Oh, man. First, it's, I don't even know what the fuck, National Exascale Day. It's apparently about the scientists who make breakthroughs, discoveries, but it's from the 10th century. I don't know what's going on with this one, but hey, I know what's going on here. International Legging Day, Day USA, National No Beard Day, shout out me who cannot grow no beard ever, Medical Assistance Recognition Day, shout out to all the medical assistants out there, National Chocolate Cupcake Day, Hagfish Day, and it says support your local chamber, man, fuck your local chamber of commerce.
Fuck your local chamber of commerce day.
wait, Hagfish get a day?
Yeah. Yeah,
hagfish deserve a day.
Do they?
You seen those damn
Joey,
things?
Everything gets a fucking day. Let me tell you. Everything gets a day.
I guess it's just hagfish feels like low on the priority list of things that should get days. I'm just hot take, I know.
Oh, yeah. No, I get it. We've celebrated
otherwise known
things.
As slime eels, occasionally snot snakes. I feel like whoever is coming up with nicknames for them maybe shouldn't go as hard on them, and then maybe we wouldn't need to give them a damn day. But yeah,
you're right.
This is a necessary
name. They're called hagfish.
Hagfish is not a great name to start with, and then they're like, "Oh, you don't like hagfish? Okay, how about slime eel, asshole?"
Yeah.
That either. Okay, we'll go with snot snake. It does sound like they're being named by bullies.
Yeah, I mean, what if they were called just like Gummy Buddies or something like that? Then we'd all be celebrating them. I'd love Gummy Buddy Day.
Slippo like, pals.
Apparently, they're like slime was being like researched by the Navy because it was like such a strong, like stronger than nylon. But hey, then how would you sell nylon? So they probably
slidey guys.
That. Shout out to DuPont.
So I've switched on this. I'm glad hagfish have a day, but I think they got PR problem.
I think so. Yeah, that's right. Well, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. They talk to you in your sleep. Sitting on a shelf, they creep me out. I do not trust these dolls with bones. Doll bones, doll bones, doll bones, doll bones. Ooh. I'm begging of you, please don't take my bones. That is courtesy of Dot Decoy Decoy on the Discord. And we've got some new lore, courtesy of this song in the expanded Bones and Doll cinematic universe.
Yeah.
The bones that they, the dolls with bones, they get their bones from taking your bones, which.
That makes sense now.
Very scary.
Yeah. I'm going to have the AI write a movie about that now.
And their bones are their money. Anyways. It's okay for me to reference. I think you should leave. I think. I'm going to say it's okay. Anyways, I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Miles Gray, a.k.a. I astral project myself away sometimes. I'm like mayo, best foods mayo. shout out to Blinky Heck for that Dynamite Teo Cruz, a.k.a. talking about Mike Pence. who likes to astrally project himself out of confrontation. And
his favorite food is definitely mayo. Like, he's the only person with a worse answer to what is your favorite meat. Like, Romney was my favorite meat is hot dog. His would be mayo somehow is his favorite meat.
And he would probably be like, oh, I like to eat it like how Winnie the Pooh eats honey. Just a big old pot of it, and I just scoop it out into my mouth.
Yeah. He gets in like a wrestling onesie or something, just lays down a mat and goes to town.
Yeah, like a Dexter kill room.
Yeah, exactly.
And his wife's like, oh, honey, you having dinner early tonight?
Going into the Mayo Dexter kill room.
Yeah.
Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat.
Yes.
A voice you've already heard from, a brilliant TV writer, performer, who's written on shows for Nickelodeon, Cartoon Network, DreamWorks, is a writer and producer on the Netflix animated series Spirit Rangers, which dropped its second season earlier this year, has season 3 dropping in 2024.
Hey.
Also the creator of the brilliant web series Gone Native, which we will link off to in the footnotes. Look, it is a must watch. Please welcome back to the show the hilarious, the talented Joey Clift!
Joey! Hey everybody, I'm a Joey Clift. I'm oh God, oh shit,
yeah, come on.
I'm on a trip. I'm fantastic. Podcast guest. Okay, so it's always, whenever I guest on this show, I always forget that you do. Yeah, I always forget that you do the song parody thing. So there's always a panic 30 seconds where I'm like, oh shit, what's a popular song?
We don't always do it. We just like to.
Yeah.
We look for when the person looks especially like they would not do well with the challenge, and then we sing the song to really fucking freak you out.
Okay, so. I promise. The next time I'm going to like produce something, I'm going to have a drop, I'm going to have a beat, I'll be ready next time.
Zeitgang, hit Joey up. Help Joey out with a song for next time. Yeah,
is it Lift, Clift, Sift, Rift? Yeah, we got a few.
Yeah, those
few
are pretty much all the words. Yeah.
Drift. Yeah. What else?
Joey Clift on.
Yeah, I literally just panicked and Googled popular songs and was just like, oh, okay, what can I do? Okay, Uptown Funk. Okay, Joey Clift funks you up. Joey Clift funks you up. Okay, does that work? that was my brain for 30 seconds.
Yeah. Just like, oh, Daft Punk's Get Lucky. Could I do anything with that?
Up all night to get Joey.
Yeah, it was perfect.
I mean, there you go. It's shit writes itself.
Yeah.
How are you doing, Joey? How have you been?
Yeah, I'm doing so good. I got to say, this has been a really fun year for me. I got really into personal training. Like, I got a personal trainer back in January to get in shape for my first and only pro wrestling match in March.
What?
And I did not win the match, but it was very fun. But basically, I've been doing this this battle with myself over the past year to try to not make fitness my whole personality.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like I've been losing. Like, I feel like whenever I talk to friends on the phone now, I have to call them while I'm on a treadmill getting my steps in or something like that.
Sure. Yeah.
Wow.
And you are in a dead sprint as we record this.
Yeah.
So
I'm definitely
lung capacity is wild.
Yeah, I'm in a dead sprint and I'm lifting a 500 pound weight over my head while I'm talking to this microphone
with a 70 pound lead vest on.
Yeah.
you were in a dial this back. So you're in a wrestling match and you're like, shit, I got to get ready. Like, were you packing on like pounds, or you're just like, I want to just have the performative strength to get through the wrestling match? Like,
So it was a little bit of both. Like, the match was in March, and I knew in late March, and I knew that the match was going to happen in January. So I guess that, like, I didn't want what was funny about the match to be me being extremely out of shape and skinny. like I didn't want somebody to, like, I didn't want to walk into the ring and people to be like, oh, he might get
someone
hurt.
Plays a sad trombone as you take your robe off.
Yeah, for sure. And there was a robe. I definitely spent way too much money and time on entrance gear and ring gear.
Oh, hell yeah. I would spend all of my money on
that. So I started working with a personal trainer to, like, I put on probably about 20 pounds of, like, you know, weight, muscle and stuff like that.
Damn.
And then, just like increased strength and stuff like that. Basically just to not look like the frail writer that I am 90% of my life.
Right. And how would you describe your physique now? You've gone from frail writer to...
Oh, so I would say you can definitely see me in this Zoom. I'm very Schwarzenegger-esque. I'm taking up the whole frame. Not have a neck anymore. I miss being able to turn my head.
You filed a big gap in between your teeth to be like early Arnold.
Yeah. Oh, 100%, 100%. Yeah, I would say that my physique right now is like fine. And I'm working very hard for it to be just okay.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, well, that's amazing.
Do you use the word macros frequently when talking to
people?
Yes,
and I hate it.
Oh, like, man.
Like, so, I'm to the point where I'm very opinionated about brands of, like, protein shake and Greek yogurt.
Okay.
Like, it's the worst.
So
what
I never got to
macros?
I don't know. And I'm trying not to learn. I think. But
I hear it all the time and I just have to be like, oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay, so macros, it's just like basically like my personal trainer sends me macros. It's basically like, here's how many calories you should eat every day. Here's how much protein. Here's how many carbs. Here's how much fat and all that stuff.
Oh, it's not a substance.
And it's consumed my life.
Yeah. Wait, it's not like from the macrodamia nut?
Oh, I mean, look, it could be. I mean, look, macadamia.
It's not the rival to micro machines.
Yeah. All right. Macro machines, just huge machines.
Just giant machines
that are big.
Now, micro machines presupposes macro machines. I'm just saying. Yeah. Who are the ad wizards who came up with this? All right, Joey, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. We're going to check in with the State of Congress and the Speaker gavel, all that bullshit. Mm-hmm. Joe Biden finally took some action and arrested Jewish protesters calling for a ceasefire. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about the BBC setting a record for the most half-assed correction for Islamophobic coverage. We will talk about Bentke, a new bizarro Disney Plus for right-wingers.
That name, too. Oof.
I know, right?
Yeah, that's got to be a dog whistle for something, right?
Yeah, right? Like, what does that mean?
Like, for, like, a latchkey kid who's, like, breaking out? Like, what? Why is the key bent?
Like I haven't figured it out yet. And we've got a team working on it around the clock.
Yeah. Maybe they misspelled Bentley.
Yeah. Could be. All of that, plenty more. But first, Joey, we do like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are or where you're at?
Okay, so aside from constantly Googling macros and good search for protein, I would say, so I live in Los Angeles and a lot of my friends are, you know, actors and writers. So my Google search history is honestly a lot of me Googling my friends' names to make sure I'm spelling their names correctly. It's just a lot of like, oh, my friend's on a podcast. I want to send them a text and say like, hey, blah, blah, blah. But like, wait, how do you spell their first name?
Right.
I'll just Google them. They're on TV.
Oh, yeah. Eric, is it?
Yeah, it's Eric. But is it with a C or a K?
A K. Yeah, right. You never know.
Impossible to know. I sometimes have to, my dad has a Wikipedia page, and I will check his birth year frequently on there, because I can never remember how old he is.
Really?
Yeah. I think the fact that he's had a Wikipedia page for the past, you know, since Wikipedia was a thing, has made it so that I just never had to learn. And so
I gotta say, like, having a Wikipedia page is the nicest thing that you can do for your friends, because like, hey, I've done the exact same thing of just like, okay, when is my friend's birthday?
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Where were they born again?
Ohio.
Yeah, I never read beyond the birthday, so I don't know shit about him, to be honest.
But it's the wrong guy. The same name. And he's like, what? Yeah, man, damn, you're looking great for 346. I fucking looked up the wrong one again.
You're a French philosopher from the 19th century, right?
Yeah. What is something you think is overrated?
So something that I think is overrated is pretty much everything that came out of the Italian Renaissance. I mean, if you think about it, the Mona Lisa, just a painting of some lady. Mm-hmm. Parachutes were invented in the Renaissance. Hey, maybe just get better at flying.
Yeah.
Also, Christopher Columbus, F that guy. He was just good at getting lost places.
And then being like, it's exactly the place I was looking for, actually.
Actually?
Yeah. So what a trash artistic period.
Yeah.
Just generally the flying machines that they went with and died trying out. Are very stupid. Like the amount of misses and just embarrassing attempts that happened throughout really puts into perspective anybody from that we want to call a genius. Come on.
We're like, yeah, from our perspective, we have supersonic flight.
Yeah.
Nice try with your ornithopter.
Yeah. Yeah. Yo, did Da Vinci have an iPod? I don't think so.
Yeah, exactly.
Call me when you invent Metallica.
That's for right. Sure, Metallica. Yeah. And their music was weak, right?
Yeah, yeah. Also, did you... Okay, so this is a little bit off topic. Did y'all know that Metallica made a third Unforgiven song? There was like Unforgiven 1 and Unforgiven 2, which are these famous like metal songs. They made an Unforgiven 3 in like 2008. And like I listened to it and it's awful. It is the worst song I've ever heard in my life.
What I stopped at Unforgiven 1. I didn't even know about Unforgiven 2.
No, Unforgiven 1 is like a good song. Unforgiven 2 is like, I think, around the same ballpark area of the second Unforgiven. But Unforgiven 3, which came out in 2007, is not good.
Oy. Like what? At that point, just like, were they? You think they're just fighting that itch to be like, we got to make it a trilogy, man. You can't just leave it some two work act. This is a fucking three-parter.
People, we really left people hanging after Unforgiven 2.
Yeah, for real. Or 1, like, sure.
Yeah, the crowd is just begging right. for it.
Hey man, when are we gonna get Whoop, There It Is 2?
Yeah, like, with like Adams Family or something involved.
Yeah, yeah. Whoop, the Adams Family, yeah, There It Is.
I think more songs have, I would say, narrative loose ends that need to be tied up in a sequel.
Well, that's the thing, is that like when your song has a sequel, you know that you have, like, it feels like they went very corporate and like started, there's like a marketing part of their brain that took mm-hmm. over and was like involved in, and they're like, well, what if we made a part two of this song? Like, cause are there other famous songs with sequels that are just like this song part two?
Okay. So like the Police had a song called Synchronicity, and they also released a Synchronicity 2.
Okay.
I mean, but yeah, it's like, there's not like a, yeah, like Whoop, There It Is 2 would be, I would love that. That'd be great.
We were just talking about how they did do that, but they did it for a movie. So for a movie sequel. Yeah. So
just like, who let the dogs out? The prequel.
Yeah.
There was
Jeff, the guy who let the dogs out.
Yeah, it's called it just Jeff follows. Let the dogs out.
Oh man.
No, Jeff really let the dogs out.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Jay-Z had a sequel to Excuse Me, Miss. That was like informally called Excuse Me, Miss Again. That was on the Bad Boys 2 soundtrack.
Okay. Yeah. It's so, like, there's remixes, right? Really remixes clear. Are good, but like they are pretty upfront about the fact that they are just like taking a previous thing and mixing it up. That it's not a new creation. I don't know. Yeah. Metallica seems like I really like the Beach Boys, and like there's this like battle between Brian Wilson and Mike Love at like during the key point of their career, and like Brian Wilson made Pet Sounds and it didn't sell that well, and Mike Love was like, see, like, I knew you're an idiot, you didn't know what you were doing, and like kind of used that to like wrest control. And like Mike Love's thing was always like, people just want to hear us sing about like babes and surfing and
right.
like fast cars, dude, like. And like I feel like Metallica had that similar thing where like they had two wolves inside them to make it Metallica as fuck, and like one of them was like, we're operating off a spreadsheet, and the spreadsheet guy won when they went to therapy as a band.
Right. Yeah, they were like, we can be mad or we can make money. What
right.
does everybody want? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What is something that you think is underrated?
Okay, so this is going to be a very hot take, but candy corn is a very underrated candy. I know that Halloween's just around the corner. I know. I could see the looks on your faces. You immediately were like,
not
this guy.
You've gone and fucking done it, Joey.
Yeah,
go on.
I know. It's
go
just like,
on.
Look, the internet really shits on candy corn, but I'm going to say I've never turned down a good candy corn. I'm always so excited about candy corn. Whenever Halloween comes around and I get like, you know, like I'm following my macros, I'm trying to be careful, but like candy corn for me is worth having like a cheat meal over. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. It's just a good, it's just like,
how do you describe the taste?
What's the flavor of candy corn?
How would you, someone that likes it, how would you describe it? Would someone call it like vanilla butter?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, that's pretty accurate. Like,
yeah,
I'm just saying, like, I like vanilla, I like butter. Flavor. Yeah. It's like, it's just like hardened frosting. It's for sure all artificial flavor, but like, I kind of like it. It's a good.
I love frosting. Yeah.
Yeah. I gotta say, man, producer Victor in the chat just posted thank you, as if I'm a hero who finally said, who finally had the courage to say
to
what we've all been thinking.
Because we've been so hostile, especially me. I cannot hide my hostility towards can't. I just fucking don't understand. Every time I eat, I'm like, this is boring. I don't like it.
This is how you know it's in the zeitgeist. We talked about it yesterday. And like, now we're back.
Like, I just think candy corn, it's like a top tier Halloween candy for me. Bottom tier is for sure, like, I would say either Smarties or those like peanut butter things that are wrapped in like wax paper. It's like lazy taffy.
Yeah, yeah.
Peanut butter taffy.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything that is taffy based that is not fruit flavored, but is like peanut butter or like Tootsie Rolls, I'm not a fan of. Like, I don't want taffy that is anything other than tart fruit flavored. Mm. But candy corn does not fall into that category for me. Candy corn is its own thing, which I think you hit the nail on the head that it really is just hardened frosting, which I love frosting.
Yeah, I love frosting.
Give me more frosting.
Yeah, what if it was denser? What if frosting was dense?
Yeah, exactly.
It used to be called chicken feed. I didn't know that back in the day. That was its initial name, product name in the late 1880s.
I'm really curious to see what would happen if you'd feed that to a chicken.
Yeah.
They will die instantly.
They just explode.
Or they would be awesome. Just, you know, it's only two options. The chicken becomes incredible. What are your feelings on the pumpkins, Joey?
So just pumpkins as a whole or the pumpkin candy?
Oh, the pumpkin, they are sometimes found with candy corn. They are basically the same thing as candy corn, but more orange,
candy
like
pumpkin.
A little bit more unnatural because they're like really bright orange and green.
Okay, good. If you were asking about pumpkin, the squash based vegetable, my response would be fuck them. Pumpkins are fine.
I fucking hate gourds.
Yeah. But okay, so I'm gonna say, like, now that I'm thinking about it, I think that if I have like a pile of candy corn and a pile of candied pumpkins, I'm gonna go for that candy corn every time. But if there's a table with like candied pumpkins on it and no candy corn, I'm probably gonna have a couple candied pumpkins. It's probably like half a step below, but it like scratches a similar itch.
Yeah.
Right.
They're very similar, but there's something I love about the pumpkins, like the having that much of it together in a ball, like really solidifies, like, yes, this is bad.
this is horrible and sinful. I think it's just the answer. I think the question is, how much hard frosting do you want?
Yeah. And give it all.
Yeah.
No, Miles. Are you convinced, Miles?
have we won you over?
I'm just looking at the pictures and I don't know what. I have to like go to therapy, back to therapy, and figure out why I'm so upset at these things. Like, because now I'm like, I don't know if this is even healthy. Like, do I just hate it because of I'm going to try it again. I do it every year because enough people come on the show and they're like, no, I mean, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. And then I even like, I don't know.
But they are saying it as an underrated thing. Most people hate it, Miles. And so you should, if you don't like it, I don't feel like you need to.
No, everyone in the mainstream is saying this is the way to go. So I got to do it or I will be fucking alienated.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have not invited you to parties because I thought you wouldn't like the candy corn there. So yes, right.
I respect that.
Ooh, I'm looking at just Googling candy corn, seeing some candy corn on the cob possibilities here.
What?
I'm not sure what the cob is made out of. Hopefully not just like Play-Doh, but that's really fun.
I'm not sure if I want that much candy corn, but like it is a little enticing.
Yeah, just by the time you're done, like your front five teeth are all just rotted out of your head.
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine. One thing I will say, there's something about the coloring of the original candy corn that is appealing to me more than there are some, like, I've seen rainbow candy corn. Leave that shit at home. Like, leave that for the fruit candies. Like, the yellow, orange, white combo is what candy corn was intended to be.
Yeah, I feel like multicolored candy corn, stop trying to hide what you are. We know you're candy corn.
Yeah, and like there's also a brown one that I think is like trying to pretend that it's got a chocolate something or other. And that's also, stop trying to live a lie. You are candy corn. You have very specific colors.
Yeah, and be proud of yourself.
Some people love you for that. Okay.
That's me. I love you for that candy
and I'm
corn.
With you. Yeah. Yes. Is candy corn is not your favorite candy though, right? Like,
nah, okay, so candy corn's not my favorite candy. I think it's probably one of my favorite Halloween specific candies.
Yeah.
I would say, okay, so my favorite candy is, I think it's a tie between like York peppermint patties.
Wow.
And this might have been a regional candy, but do you know Sixlets?
No, you just
so
made
it's,
that
it's
up.
So it's basically like, yeah, I just made it up. Yeah. So it's basically like gas station M&Ms. It's M&Ms you can pretty much only buy from a gas station.
I do know that.
They come in little tubes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
More
yeah,
shit round balls. Per M&M.
Yeah, you
right?
can also yeah, you can also buy them. You can buy them in like a carton of milk, but a carton of Sixlets.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, they're just like perfectly rounded instead of being lentil shaped. And yeah, they have more, there's more candy shell per like chocolate. And they're really nice. I love a Sixlet. Great
yeah,
pool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing.
Miles is just fuming right now.
No, I just had to do a thing to be like candy corn racism.
Like, and yeah, it probably exists. There's probably a think piece about that.
To hate you.
And I'm reading all about like how like the sugar market being disrupted by World War I led to like a rise in candy. I'm going to come back with a takedown of candy corn. Folks, don't worry about it.
It's going to be our whole Thursday or our whole Friday episode.
Yeah.
Just that. Yeah.
Oh, wow. You know why? Maybe this might be ingrained in me. So back in like when the candy industry was like coming, you know, like around the 20s and stuff. This is from NPR. The candy market was a racially differentiated one. The more expensive varieties, such as hand-dipped chocolate bonbons, were aimed at young white women and middle-class children. The cheap stick candy, meanwhile, was targeted African-American and immigrant Irish and Chinese children.
Mm.
So, interesting. I'm like, that's what I'm saying. Like, oh, so they were feeding us the candy corn because it was the cheap shit, which is why I like the chocolate because I want access to what the middle-class white children had, I think. Maybe that's what I'm feeling.
Wait, what's the cheap stick candy? That's candy corn?
I think they're talking about like stuff that is like the
lollipops and shit.
Just stuff that was like pressed out, like just sugar, hardened sugar was like more like or like a, you know, a fucking what's like a lollipop kind of thing.
So candy corn is for the people.
Yeah, probably like your sugar babies and your sugar daddies and stuff like that.
It says no race, creed, or color in candy's appeal. Irish, Chinese, and Negro lads snapped as one of San Francisco's candy day. Like what the fuck?
Snapped as one. What?
Woo!
Oh, okay, snapped so, as one. Okay, a picture of. Yeah.
So my take on that is, oh yeah, that's awful. But also just like, oh, there's no native people on that picture, and that makes me feel not included.
Yeah, right.
Right? Yeah.
We're all losing. That's what I'm saying. We're all losing. Yeah. We're all like, losing.
Why isn't a representation of my people in this weird racist,
in this
racist
candy photograph?
Ad, candy ad. Yeah.
We were usually always part of turn of the century racist ads.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about some news.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And Miles.
Yep.
You, our resident speaker of the house watcher.
Just, yeah.
James Colville.
Oh, man. We got one. That guy would lower his snake nipples. And we would replace him. Kevin McCarthy with another creature of the swamp that might be lower than snake nipples. I don't even know. Lower than worm nipples, I guess.
Okay. But,
yeah, so last time we checked, no one was even getting close to the 217 votes needed to get the speaker's gavel. But that was kind of before the MAGA machine kind of fully turned on over the weekend, where they started bullying moderates. So like Sean Hannity was like just browbeating over the airwaves, like Jim Jordan allies, like because he kind of wants to be speaker, started pulling people aside and, you know, just fucking beating them down in person. Being like, you really need to fucking vote for Jim Jordan. Don't be a fucking herd.
Oh, so he's the MAGA choice.
He's now emerging as the MAGA king.
Okay.
And this is and going to people that like have said from the beginning, like, I would never vote for this guy. People mentioned, you know, last week that he's an insurrectionist. True. That he has no care for reproductive rights. True. That he's not a serious politician. Also true. But it seems like some of the moderates, a.k.a. coward racists, were willing to block his confirmation for someone that made the party look slightly like less clownish. But sadly, we're talking about, you know, Republicans and their faux MAG or fear of MAGA. I just coined that is getting the best of them. And right now, it looks like Jordan is now only dealing with around 10 holdouts, but that's still enough to block him. As of this recording, I don't know what is going to happen. There was one round of voting, and Jim Jordan did not come close. And everyone's like, I don't know why you went and took it to a vote. So, but he can also do the Kevin McCarthy thing, the very brave thing, which is to force another vote until people tire and eventually do it. But, oh, wait, according to this one, now there are 20 holdouts.
Wait, versus the holdouts went up?
Yeah, they went up. Yeah.
So they were from 10 to 20. So
I think that the betting spread was like people thought there were only going to be like 6 or 7 holdouts or something like that. Yeah. But for there to be 20, it's like McCarthy, his first round of votes had 19 holdouts. So Jim Jordan's doing worse than McCarthy.
Yeah. Wow. And McCarthy was like historically futile.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't realize that they could do what police do when they're trying to get a confession out of like innocent people is right. Just like keep them there and be like, you can go home. All you have to do is just say yay. Yeah, just sign this and say yay.
When they call your name, say Jordan. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So what I think is really funny is I was watching the vote before we started recording, and there's so much more applause than I thought that there would be in speaker votes. It was like when Jim Jordan, they called Jim Jordan's name and he said, I vote for Jim Jordan. Everybody applauded.
Yeah.
And Hakeem Jeffries was like, I'm voting for Hakeem Jeffries. Yeah. It's just like, that's my guy, you know?
Yeah.
Like I think when McCarthy voted for Jim Jordan, everybody was like, yeah, we did it as they're down 20 points, you know?
Right.
There was a moment where I think Don Bacon, who's a Republican, he actually voted for, he voiced support for McCarthy because he's always been Team McCarthy. And then this was on Fox News and Brian Kilmeade was on a hot mic and he's like, fucking, he called him a dumbass.
Well, really?
You play this one for you because it kind of gives you an idea of like the tension as they take these votes.
Wait, so who's Kilmeade's guy?
Bacon.
McCarthy.
McCarthy.
Dumbass.
Dumbass.
Because they're all in, they want the MAGA guy. You know what I mean?
Oh, he voted for McCarthy. All right,
no, Kilmeade as a pundit is always going to be Team MAGA. So if now all of their overlords are whispering sweet nothings into their ear to be like, it's got to be Jordan, then that's what the media will do.
Wow. And so once one of these people is voted in, then they'll be able to do...
vote on bills.
Extend the government?
Yeah, fund the bills. Government to fund avoid government. Another shutdown potentially in mid-November, and along with a ton of other, like, you know, just things we call legislation. Yeah. But as of right now, they're just going to be, I think, just hammering all day away, being like, can we get Jim there? I don't know.
Mm. Yeah. Well, that's kind of the thought of, like, when there are future votes, like, there's a lot of people, like, a lot of Republicans that said, like, okay, we don't like him, but like, we'll give him the first vote. And if he's close, we'll keep voting for him. But like this, I think actually happened with McCarthy, where it's like, once you start to lose any support or people think that you're weak, he's going to like probably start to lose a lot more votes. Yeah,
exactly. Wow. Because you don't want to be seen like you're caping for the dying brand. You know?
Yeah, totally. It's like, I'll give you one. And it's like, if that works out, sure. But like, if you fail more than once, why would I keep voting for you?
Right. Why do we think there's like so few politicians who have any like promise or, you know, like we've talked about this earlier with Democrats and how like, as people are talking about, like maybe they should have a different candidate, like besides Biden, since Biden's so old. But then like the options are fairly limited, right? And like similarly here, it feels like it's just, there's like the big stars that everybody's been paying attention to, but then it's pretty like sparse down below, to the point that like Jim Jordan is their number one option.
I mean,
is there like a unifying theory of like why this is so fucked?
Well, he is like the darling of like the far right within the House.
Okay. So he is popular.
He's one of the holdouts with like Matt Gaetz and, you know, kind of like those folks.
Okay. Yeah. And so like he's got the MAGA cred, and that's what I think keeps a lot of moderates sort of off balance, because like you have people who are like truly last week were like, I'll never vote for him. That over the weekend something happened, they're like, I think that he is the one who could unify the party. You're like, what the fuck?
Are you being held at gunpoint?
It's like, well, no.
I changed my mind. I love him. I love him so much.
So it's just the Republicans being split, and not like that's why there's been such difficulty getting a speaker. It's not like, oh, there's just like nobody for anybody to unite
I think
behind.
It's like, it's their split, and they have like such a small majority of only like, I think, three or four.
They can only lose four votes.
Yeah, they can only lose four votes.
The Democrats vote.
And like the Republican Party is just, it's just so like the, you know, there's moderate folks and there's like MAGA folks. And it's like what each side, what even within the Republican Party, different people want is like so different.
Yeah.
So it's like hard to get, you know, 217 or whatever the number was, people to like agree on anything. Especially when you only have like three or four votes on either side that you can kind of lose, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is which is why McCarthy had to literally give up everything to get and be like, fine, man, if you don't fucking like me, you can fucking vote me out, dude. I'll fucking do anything, man.
Yeah, please.
How he got it. You know, Jim Jordan isn't really willing to do that. So we're just starting, like, if there's going to be like a hard line like that, I don't
start it back at one.
Yeah, exactly.
You know who I think should be Speaker of the House? Us.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, just kidding. I don't want to do that job.
That job sounds terrible.
Yeah.
I would break the fucking gavel though. Like if that guy tried, man. McHenry, like he smashed the shit out of it. I'll be like, let me show you how to really rock this fucking thing. Just explode it. Be like, fuck yeah, adjourn.
Get a trick gavel so it like just explodes into a cloud of smoke.
I mean, that'd be
and I have
sick.
Like on my face too.
So it's like it has a big acne sign on the side of it.
Yeah, that's right.
They're like, oh, that's the trick gavel.
It's like the gavel's filled with TNT.
Just a small
over in the executive branch. Yeah. Joe Biden has finally taken action and is demanding that people get off his lawn. On Monday, there was a major protest in D.C. urging Biden to call for a ceasefire in Gaza, led by If Not Now and Jewish Voice for Peace. And it included character actor Wallace Shawn, among others. Yeah. And yeah, after congregating in front of the White House, blocking several entryway, they were arrested by the Secret Service. And
yeah, well, yeah. It's killing we're seeing it, this all over the world where you're seeing yeah. protesters who are like trying to call for an end to violence, you know, just getting absolutely brutalized or rounded up and thrown into police vehicles. Yeah, it's kind of it's interesting to see where this goes now, because now Biden is going to be in Israel today, Wednesday. And a lot of people are waiting to see like what he's going to say, because he's been pretty clear. He's like, yeah, whatever they want, you know, what up if that includes genocide. I guess I'll kind of write a tweet that says like, let's think of the innocents, and then I won't really say much more forceful after that. Yeah. So a lot of people are looking to see if he's going to grant these people in Gaza humanity in his public remarks, and see what actually happens in, you know, the course of his discussions with Netanyahu.
And that has not happened.
Yeah, I think this whole situation is just a level of fucked that it's hard for me to comprehend just how fucked it is. It's like, do y'all remember Magic Eye pictures where it's like a blurry image where you focus on it? And for me, when you focus on it, it just gets blurrier. And, you know, I'm aware that some magic eyes work for some people, but they don't work for me. Yeah, they did not for me. So this whole thing is my magic eye.
Yeah,
it's really disorienting, right? Because on one side, you're like, oh, yeah, you can't fucking just cut off people's food, water, electricity, bomb indiscriminately and not call that a genocide. And then you have a lot of the things that are reflected back to you in the media are like, nope, this is the only way to do it. It's the only way you can end Hamas is to just basically kill half of the people, or at least destroy half of Gaza.
Yeah. Punish civilians.
Yeah. And I think that's what's like really interesting to see now, where you have so many people protesting and wanting to like get the United States government to like use its leverage as this world superpower to like end the violence. And all we're seeing now is like, you know, more warmongering and like talking about like, you know, people making eyes at Iran now and being like, well, what if we got to do something about that? Like we're doing this all over again. Like we're doing 9/11 again, all over very quickly. And I'm really, it's just alarming to see like how no one is really realizing how we're just going to bumble our way into a global catastrophe if this doesn't end, if the violence doesn't stop.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
The fact that these are Jewish-led groups that are being hauled away by the Secret Service should make it pretty clear that the U.S. government's unwavering support for Israel has nothing to do with supporting Jewish people. And, you know, in New York, they're literally arresting rabbis and descendants of Holocaust survivors because they are protesting Israeli military.
Well, Jack, they were told this was an illegal gathering and they were warned and they didn't move. So that's why it had to happen. These people are, you know, it's just saddening too, because you see a lot of these Jewish protesters and they're like, please don't weaponize what has happened to our people or recently in Israel to then go on another military campaign that is just going to put more lives at risk for everyone involved. And you see how like even the talk, like, you know, people are like, what about the United States role in all this? And it's like, yeah, what the fuck?
Right.
So what is Joe Biden going to do? Because you think, and I said this on the weekend trending episode, it doesn't make anyone safer. It doesn't make Americans safer. It's just going to create more hatred.
And it's
going to manifest in all kinds of ways. It's not like, again, it's not, this shit doesn't end neatly if Gaza is flattened.
Right.
Like, to the contrary. That is going to create more feelings of anger towards the United States and other people who are backing, you know, this like, you know, in this siege of Gaza. And I think that's where I get very concerned, too, with, you know, how quickly, like, you know, we're seeing the government, like, ignore the pleas of people, because at the end of the day, like, people have protested against the war and it hasn't really, you know, doesn't quite sway the state. But yeah, we're just moving more military infrastructure to the region, like saying, like, don't fucking anybody else try shit because we're here. And right. All it's going to take are a couple things to go left. And then, you know, who knows where, you know, where this leads to militaristically.
Yeah. It's like a very dangerous moment.
Well, yeah, for sure. And it's like, I guess that what really gets me is I feel like there's so many innocent people, like really on both sides, that are just like so fucked by this situation. And it's just
completely
sucks.
Yeah. The Israeli people, like we said before, they're going to like any nation that has to deal with this kind of stuff will bear the brunt of their country's foreign policy. And right now, the policy of destroying Gaza does not make the people of Israel safer.
No.
And again, for the people of America, like I said, our names are all over the munitions that are being used on Gaza.
Right.
And that has to be taken into consideration. There's no, like, that's, you know, if you're just thinking very narrowly about, like, what does it mean for America? This is real bad PR for America, to put it in a simple way for people to understand.
Usually a country with great PR.
Yeah, exactly. Well, which is wild, too, because we're seeing now, too, like the rest of the world trying to be like, yeah, man, the fucking U.S. has been fucking around forever.
Yeah.
And that, like, those sentiments will have a way of evolving and turning into all kinds of other things. So, yeah, it's just a, you know, and we're doing that while the media is really doing a disservice to people by not reporting things as they are and just kind of like getting caught up in the warmongering that's coming out of like the heads of state.
Yeah. On the media side, it's like a step back from where things were at first a little bit, but not by much. Like I feel like it can best be summed up by that BBC, you know, apology clip where the BBC referred to all protesters in the UK advocating for Palestinian lives as Hamas supporters.
Yeah.
And they caught a bunch of highly justified shit for that. And so the BBC issued an on-air apology that lasted a whopping 20 seconds. And
yeah, here, we'll play it.
Let's just play it.
Now, before we go, earlier on BBC News, we reported on some of the pro-Palestinian demonstrations at the weekend. We spoke about several demonstrations across Britain during which people voiced their backing for Hamas. We accept that this was poorly phrased and was a misleading description of the pro-Palestinian demonstrations. Now, here's the weather.
Oh, yikes.
Jesus Christ.
That's
not an edit.
That's
not
a George Bush.
Now watch this drive.
Yeah. Well, I think that's something that's really frustrating about, you know, this, aside from, you know, literally everything that's happening, is that you can feel the propaganda spin from like every aspect of what's happening. Like, I went to school for journalism, and, you know, in journalism school, you learn a lot about, you know, how to source facts and how to look for unbiased reporting. And this past week has really felt like, you know, even normally kind of trusted news sources, social media, you know, pretty much everything has such a crazy level of spin to it. And it's all like so blatant and just out in the open that I just don't even have any idea what an unbiased news source is on this stuff.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think if you just want to dig through like data, then trust like the NGOs that are, you know, doing humanitarian work. They don't have any incentive to lie about like what is happening in Gaza, because I think at this point the death count is like at closer to 3,000. Social media has rendered itself like very hard to use anymore. Like, anytime I'm looking at tweets now, like I'm looking just to see like where else things are reported and things like that. But yeah, like to your point, it does feel very disorienting, because I think from most perspectives, you look at what is happening to innocent people being killed in mass, and like the media is like doing stuff like on CNN. There was like that moment where there was like this military like sort of talking head pundit going on and be like, and yeah, like this is kind of what a ground attack might look like. And then one of the anchors like, but like you're cutting off like water and food and electricity. Like, but like people, aren't people going to like starve to death? Like what's going to happen? The guy's like, I mean, it sounds a little callous, but like, this is war. Right. And like, so you're even seeing like how quickly, like someone had a moment of clarity to be like, this is bad. And like, no, it's war. It's war. Did you hear? They're bad. Yeah. And it's war. So we have all to put people, that out of our.
All the children are bad. The thousands of children are bad. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like I've got friends who are Israeli. I've got friends who are Palestinian. And like, ultimately for me, it's like, I just care about my friends and hope that their families are okay.
Yeah. That's why, right. I think most people are calling for a ceasefire.
Exactly. Yeah, totally.
Even like the parents of people who have had their children kidnapped, who are like, you know, saying like, please, I don't want more bloodshed. It's wild because those voices are being like, you know, just doled out.
But it's frustrating that like I want to be more educated about this stuff. And I think that it's just so difficult to find, like, you know, other than you said, just like facts and figures from NGOs, it's like so difficult to find, you know, something that does not have some like specific point of view that it's trying to push, you know, like that is covering this stuff in any sort of real way. So it's like even trying to like be educated on what's happening so I can have like, you know, conversations with my friends about it is just like insanely difficult.
Sure. I think because, you know, people, this is like so like traumatizing for people, you know, that when you have a vested interest in like a specific community, I've seen people, like I've seen like my own friends evolve from like at like just righteous anger into like a little bit sort of like, wait, but like what the fuck is going on? Like I'm not sure like what I want to advocate for and who I'm advocating for. But I think at the end of the day, like it's, at least for me personally, is just looking at the, you know, like the news is doing a really good job too of like just kind of showing you like destroyed buildings and rubble. Yeah. Whereas before, when you saw what was happening to the people in Israel, they were like, it was much more visceral. And I think that really excuses people to not understand the level of violence that people are actually experiencing in Gaza, because you can look at that and go, that just looks like a pile of concrete that used to be a house that people were inside of.
Like, I feel like there's a history of United States, like, news watching where, like, building rubble is a thing that you're just like, oh, that's something that happens in other country, like, and we can turn brain off. And
right. Zooming in a bit further to understand, like, the humanity of, like, what is happening as people try and dig people out of rubble and things like that, that's when it becomes, like, the scale of it is completely overwhelming.
Well, I feel like it's you know, it's opening up a lot of wounds in, you know, it just like native communities that I'm a part of, because like, you know, like my people and a lot of my friends' peoples were like also victims of attempted genocides and stuff like that. And it's like, it's, you know, it's definitely like there's that level to it too, about like, you know, talking to my different friend groups about this. And, you know, I mean, like the U.S. government can be a fuck about this stuff. It's like when the Standing Rock Dakota Access Pipeline protests were happening in like 2015, 2016. Like initially when the news media was reporting about it, they referred to the Standing Rock Sioux protesters as like horse thieves who deserve to get sprayed by water in 0 degree conditions, you know, like
Jesus Christ.
So it's like you can kind of, you can like see that, I don't know, it's like, it just seeing that type of thing applied to, you know, something like this where literally just like masses of human life is being lost. It's just like disgusting, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, it just reinforces the thing that we see all the time is that like the violence committed by the state is the only legitimate form of violence and should not be questioned. And I think that's when it gets like real murky, because most, you know, like your community, my community has experienced that, where state violence is the legitimate form of violence and any others, it's like off, like it's just again, so like I can see why it's overwhelming for many people, and my heart just continues to like,
same,
fucking bleed for people who are pleading for peace, because they know this is only going to end with just more fucking death and destruction. And that's, it's just difficult. And like, I think again, like I've said this a million times, but we have to really think about what our place is in this too. Not to say that like individually we are responsible, but it's like, that's where to see the horrifying shit play out and what the U.S. is a party to, like, is just serves as a reminder why we need like leaders who are looking at a different way of looking at the planet rather than just like this like macho man, fuck you, I'll blow you up style of shit, because it's, we're seeing like it's falling apart rapidly.
Yeah.
Speaking of controversial issues, let's get back to candy corn. Just kidding.
Thank you.
Yeah, kidding. Yeah, but I agree with everything that you're saying for sure. Yeah.
All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often those of us who don't fit into this dumb stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess October 16th, 2 days ago, was the 100th anniversary of the founding of the Walt Disney Company. Yeah!
Yeah, we did it.
Hell yeah! We did it.
Time folks. Passed.
Speaking of racist caricatures.
So, you know, it is good to see that there are people pushing back on this monoculture of Disney. Oh, wait, sorry. It's people who are like, it should be more racist.
Oh, right.
Daily Wire co-CEO Jeremy Boring, yes, the man behind this terrible entertainment platform, literally named Boring, kicked off a video announcing his new company called Bent Key with a rant about how Disney is trying to indoctrinate our kids, adding that while Disney still uses Walt's name, he's like on a nickname basis with Walt Disney, they have all but abandoned his legacy. Presumably meaning his legacy of racism and anti-Semitism. But they... Yeah.
Come back so
they,
home, Walt.
Yeah. So they go on to announce a new app, which will feature licensed program and also original children's shows, including Chip Chilla.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah. So it's just Chip Chilla, It's just a Bluey ripoff with chinchillas instead of dogs.
Fucking terrible Bluey ripoff.
Yeah.
A terrible Bluey ripoff featuring the voice of Rob Schneider.
Yes.
You got to have the voice of the canceled to power this kind of creative endeavor. And like, it's wild when you look at this, the pictures of Chipchilla are so, it's just like so blatant that it's a ripoff of Bluey. Don't they understand how kids' minds work? As a kid, I rejected anything that I suspected of being not the genuine article. You know what I mean? If it's like,
oh, you were too good for GoBots?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, if my mom would be like, oh, we got that at home. And I'm like, we don't have that at home. It's in the store. The thing you have at home is like this other version. Or it's like, there's this other toy that's like the thing I like. It's like, it's not the thing. So I can't imagine there would be kids who are like seeing this and they're like, I want Bluey. Like,
right.
Unless you're able to start them off on this early, you know.
Don't you think the kids will inherently respond well to Chipchilla's inherently more heteronormative household roles, where Rob Schneider's father character is a distinctly alpha father named Chum Chum?
Chipchilla is also homeschooled because his family doesn't trust the school system.
I'm sure. Almost definitely.
When are those ones going to come out too? Like, where it's like, the teacher at school said I needed to get a shot to keep the other kids safe.
Right.
Like, inevitably, right?
That's actually, I'm kind of, okay, so like, I write for kids' TV a lot.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I've, seeing this new story, I'm obsessed with it. Like, part of me thinks like, oh yeah, this is insane. But part of me is also thinking like, what sort of crazy bullshit could I pitch to them to get them to buy? Like, if I just pitched like Teenage Mutant Ninja firearms, where instead of turning into turtles, they turn into guns.
Yeah, right.
They'd be like, sold, 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 sold. Or just like Garfield, but instead of hating Mondays, he hates being woke. That's why he's always napping. Or like, instead of Thomas the Tank Engine, it's just like Thomas the Tank Cannon or something.
Right,
pro-military. Exactly. Would they be like, hell yeah, sign me up.
Thomas the Crowd Disbursement Vehicle. Oh no, the people are complaining. Go, Thomas.
He's the train that broke up that union protest with like machine guns on the back.
Yeah. Or he's the thing that like, crashed in like East Palestine, that horrible train derailment. It's like, they're mischaracterizing me.
Wait, can I pitch y'all my dream Daily Wire project?
Yes.
Please.
Okay, so it's about a vampire who, instead of drinking your blood with fangs, he injects vaccines into you with fangs. His name is Vacula. Vaccine Dracula. I think that it stars Scott Baio, canceled actor Scott Baio, as like a cop who got canceled just for doing what's right or something like that.
Exactly.
I think that it's like, revealed halfway through that Vacula is Hunter Biden, and also Joe Biden's a villain too.
Okay. Yes, of course.
And there's definitely going to be a line of dialogue in this movie where the Scott Baio canceled cop is holding a shotgun and a scientist is telling him, like, you just got to trust the science on this. Why don't you just like look at our research and appreciate it? And then Scott Baio will say, I do my own research, and then cock a shotgun.
Yes.
Whoa, hell yeah. Like,
yeah.
Now, is there room for Dean Cain and Kevin Sorbo in this?
Oh, yeah. Look, there's got to be a lot of, there's going to be a lot of heroes in this movie.
Yeah. James Woods.
Daily Wire, if you're listening to this, hit me up. I think we could have, Rob Schneider could play Vacula. Or like, who's that former SNL guy who's like, who was Goat Boy
Jim
on
Brewer?
SNL? Yeah, Jim Brewer could be Vacula. It'd be great.
He would be.
He's a mess, dude. Have you seen his stand-up recently?
Oh, it's insane.
It's morbidly bad.
Yeah.
Like, it's like not even, it's bad to a point where you're like, if that movie, The Wrestler, were about a stand-up, like, it's like, we're seeing that version. Like, Mickey Rourke is just like a down and out. Like, it's just, it's so distressing.
But what's wild about it is the stand-up, the jokes are bad. But he's performing largely in front of churches and like very right wing friendly audiences.
Yeah.
And if you listen to the audience, it's like they're watching like Eddie Murphy's Raw. Like it's just they're like eating it up.
Right.
It's because like he does like this thing where he'll be like, and then you got like these Democrats, the Democrats.
Yeah, like
he just does, he's like just over the top, like just like guttural sounds and stuff. You're like, exactly.
Yeah,
he's that's like, what
yeah.
they're saying.
Yeah, I think there's something where it's just like the Democrats sound like parakeets. They're always like, trust the science, bacaw, or whatever.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know? It's
yeah.
like that's his closer.
Yeah. Right. Jeez. Thank you so much. I'm Jim Brewer. All right.
You could hear me on an upcoming episode of Chip Chilla playing a racist cop.
Yeah.
Who's actually saves the day, it turns out.
Yeah.
He's got some interesting things to say.
Yeah,
about
a racist cop who has some real truths he's saying or whatever.
But they're also doing like live action, right? Like on this platform.
They've got one Kid Explorer, a show called Kid Explorer. That appears to be like a recruitment tool for the U.S. military.
They all appear to be a recruitment tool for the U.S. military.
Yeah, right. Yeah, even Chip Chilla is about being like, hey, and if you're too weak-bodied, we can still use you in like a drone operating trailer. Who knows, you know?
There's also apparently other Daily Wire movies they released. They came up with a movie called Terror on the Prairie in 2022.
Yeah,
and part of me wants to watch the trailer. And then another part of me is like, oh, I know that's going to be racist.
That's going to be so racist.
Terror on the Prairie sounds like it could be something that's poignant.
Right.
But it's just going to go the other way.
Yeah. It did go the other way also in terms of box office. It made a total of $804. At the bottom.
I'm just saying, if they
I
would greenlight,
fucking hurt my throat laughing like that. I'm sorry.
I'm just saying, if they would greenlight Vacula, that would make twice that.
Oh yeah, Vacula would kill. By the way, it does reflect our like we've talked before about something in my childhood made me think that Dracula had hollow fangs that sucked the blood through the fangs.
Oh yeah,
yeah, hollow like fang, yeah, like yeah. a like yeah, like a reverse cobra or something.
Yeah, and. I don't think that was an assumption made by everyone, but
no, we kind of mentioned
Dracula
it on the show.
Proves it, yeah,
yeah. Or we're team hollow. We've been hollow fans.
We're team hollow fans.
Yeah, I'm team hollow. I'm on board for that.
All right, cool.
Like, yeah, update the Reese's commercial. So there's like two holes. You know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah.
So you can see.
Oh, there were. Track? I think. But I think Reese's is hollow, Reese's team hollow fang. Yeah, I think so.
Okay. But I'm just saying, what if instead of having hollow fangs, he had fangs that had little syringes that came out of them?
Yeah, ooh. Absolutely.
Look, I'm hard selling Vacula.
Those fangs go two ways.
Yeah.
Oh, I think we're saying the logic of the Reese's being team hollow fang wasn't because of the indents, but because what the indents represented was they sipped out all the peanut butter.
Yeah, sucked all the peanut butter.
I was talking about like how you represent... It doesn't matter because I don't understand geometry.
Okay, so like, I guess okay.
That.
So my bump there is that I'm also very much team hollow fang, but like blood is a liquid. I feel like if you drank peanut butter like you drank blood, you'd like choke, right?
Total mess. Yeah.
Oh yeah. It would just clog up your fangs.
Yeah, clog up your fangs. Yeah.
The dentist would be like, oh, man, you doing the peanut butter thing again? I told you, it's hard to get out.
Also, yeah. I feel like that would be like a real pain to clean inside your fangs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody said this Dracula stuff was going to be easy, man. It's
yeah, you're right.
It's a mess.
You've been turned by him. You're like, what the fuck, man? Like the maintenance and shit on the fangs? You never told me. It's like, hey, man.
That's you're sadly cleaning your fangs with pipe cleaners.
Tiny little pipe cleaners going in the points of your fangs.
New Explorer, though, these images from the New Explorer show are fucking like you can already tell, right? Like there's a kid in like a fucking bomber jacket in front of like an
F-16.
This is how we make it rain. And then another one that seems like a Revolutionary War soldier, but with a Thompson gun. I don't know what they're going to say here. I don't know what kind of cool stuff they're going to be saying.
His facial expression suggests he's in the middle of murdering someone. The Revolutionary War kid is like...
It has the feeling of like a 90s toy commercial.
Yes.
Where it's like, fight the redcoats. Yeah! like that kind of shit.
Yeah, they're also, on that note, they're making a rival Snow White movie. Where, get this, Snow White's played by a white woman.
Oh, yes.
Hell
that's
yeah.
That's the big change.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. They've been really upset about the Snow. Like, it seems like the Snow White thing is the whole impetus behind this.
Right.
They've been so mad that the star of Disney's actual Snow White, which they might have to change the title to Disney's actual Snow White, Rachel Zegler, had the gall to call the original movie dated. It came out in 1937. I actually rewatched it for the Bechdel cast, and it's not just it is like the most profoundly sexist. Like, if you do a close reading of the movie, like what it's saying about Snow White is,
yeah, it's like if you kiss a lady while she's asleep, she has to love you.
Yes. And if she only, like, every time she does something, she is putting herself in she's just like dizzily wandering into life-threatening situations the entire movie. She like runs away from the hunter and like runs into the woods and passes out and is like surrounded by a bunch of wild animals. And the only reason the wild animals don't like eat her is because she's like really pretty when she's asleep. And then she also almost gets murdered. She like breaks into the Seven Dwarfs' home and like falls asleep in their bed. They almost murder her with a pickaxe. She rolls over in her sleep and they're like, oh, she's so pretty. And then like when she eats a poisoned apple, like that is clearly put, like the person giving it to her is like overtly a wish.
Like it was given it to you by a talking snake.
Exactly. And then the only thing that saves her there is, again, when she's asleep. Like, she has to be asleep for good things to happen.
Be beautiful and passive to succeed.
Beautiful and passed out is literally the message of the, it's fucked.
So what do you think the message will be with this one, huh?
Probably the same. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if they could even do it, but I'm sure they could. Like, it feels like they'll find
a way.
We're
updating
it
for modern times. You're like, are you?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The Daily Wire will find a way.
Yes.
They'll find, yeah.
As they always do.
Yeah. The teaser trailer suggests the movie has not been shot yet, but does reveal that they cast a white actress as Snow White and also have access to stock footage of a national park.
Okay. Okay. But, that's something. That's something.
But yeah, their movies up to this point have averaged $236,000 at the worldwide box office.
Oh.
And these are movies produced by Ben Shapiro, person who like went to see Barbie on opening day and like created like 7 hours of content just railing about like how evil
like he destroys Barbie for 3 hours or whatever that video is called.
Yeah. Right. And it tanked the box office for Barbie, but nobody went to see it after.
Yeah.
He
really got his way.
So
that is really funny. Like how heavily the Go Woke, Go Broke brigade was like really attacking the Barbie movie only for it to make make $1.5 billion of profit.
Like, right. Like just the most successful movie.
Yeah,
ever.
Yeah.
Yep, go broke.
yeah. Too bad they went broke.
Uh-huh. Ours, that's why you really want to be shooting for around 230K.
yeah, that's the real.
Or like $800 over five weeks.
Yeah. It's like, okay, it made $200 billion, but did it make $800? Checkmate, woke exactly. Brigade.
They have been defending the movie's performance by being like, we didn't even like put it out in wide release. Like they wouldn't have if they could have.
Yeah.
Like that was a choice that they made. Actually, we don't even want people to see this movie.
That's like the whole point, dude. And that's why you don't get it. That's why you're like a part of the mainstream, like fucking echo chamber, bro. Get out of here.
But no, legit. Like, that's something that I'm kind of thinking about with like all of this stuff is like, specifically Daily Wire stuff is like, is this just Ben Shapiro trying to steal money from VC funders? Like, cause.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's like, this feels like a tax scheme.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Man, damn. Took huge losses on all those movies.
Like
what are the budgets, because that's where you're really going to see the magic in the accounting happen.
Right. Well, Joey, as always, such a pleasure having you on the Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you, follow you, see your stuff, all that good stuff?
So thanks so much for having me. Everybody check out my Comedy Central digital series Gone Native, which is a series of animated PSAs about weird microaggressions that native folks run into just on a daily basis. One of my favorite episodes is called Every Time You Say Something Is Your Spirit Animal, You Have to Give Every Native American Person You Know $25. So far, nobody's Venmo'd me, but I feel like it's going to happen. You can check out all the episodes at gonenative.tv. And there's a page for each episode that also includes links to, sort of deep dives and think pieces and research about kind of these different microaggressions and why people should stop doing them. And then you can check me out on social media. You can find me on Twitter, Blue Sky, and TikTok at Joey Tainment. And then you can find me on Instagram and Threads at Joey Clift with like five or six eyes. And yeah, so follow me on the socials. Check out Gone Native at gonenative.tv. And listen to more of the Daily Zeitgeist. This is a delightful show.
Oh, you're the best. Thank you so much. Is there a work of media that you've been enjoying besides the ones that you've been creating? Have you had time to enjoy other works of media?
Okay, so I would say that there's a tweet that popped up on my timeline yesterday that I really enjoyed. It's a tweet from a little unknown figure called at Elon Musk. It's a it's a New Yorker cartoon featuring two boxers, and the cartoon says, "In this corner, a man who describes everything as Orwellian, and in this corner, a guy who loves saying Kafka-esque." And then Elon posted this cartoon without attribution, and then with the text, "I use both words a lot," laugh emoji. And I guess that what's so funny to me about this is that just where we're at in society is I don't follow Elon Musk, but in order to use Twitter, I have to, like, it just forces.
You have to find that
his,
out.
Like, it forces his bad jokes onto my timeline. So we're just in this level of oligarchy where I just have to be invaded by the thoughts of a billionaire constantly. And that is very both hilarious to me and also very dark about the state of where we are in society.
Right. Yeah. I use them both. It's just, yeah, it's just like getting a live stream of what's going on with him as it relates to memes that he saw today.
I guess it's like the comparison would be if you live in like medieval Europe and whenever the king has a funny joke, he like shouts it out of the window of his castle. And if you as a peasant don't chuckle at his joke, you get executed.
Right. Yeah.
It's like that's kind of where we're at.
I feel like back then it would have been seen as too pathetic if like the town crier came out and was like, hear ye, the king said something kind of funny that made some people laugh, or at least he thought it was. Here it is. Everybody line up and get ready to laugh.
Share. Yeah. And then if you don't
the king
laugh,
has new material. Please, everyone, come quickly.
Yeah.
Okay, your highness. All right, thank you, my loyal subjects. So a family goes in for an audition where they want to do a new act. It's a mother, a father, and I'm like, oh, no.
And it's like, this is the funny part. Why aren't you laughing?
Yeah. Yeah. What?
Yeah.
I said the aristocrats.
Yeah. It's just funny that like our main source of communicating as a society now also includes just this crazy billionaire who owns it and says stupid shit that we have to listen to.
Who, if he could murder us for not laughing on the grounds of us being clearly infected with the woke mind virus.
He would
do that.
If he would like unleash the War of the World robots like on populations to like just literally be like, just you didn't laugh at that tweet.
Yeah, yeah.
How we know he's not as smart as his fanboys think he is, because if he could do that, he would. But he doesn't. He just is not that good at making machines. He just takes other people's machines and finds ways to make profit off of them. Miles.
Yes.
Where can people find you? What's the work of media you've been enjoying?
I've been enjoying Instagram at Miles of Gray. I know I said that real clear, and you already know what I meant. You can also find us on the basketball podcast, Miles and Jack Got Mad.
Mad Boosties.
And also find me on 420 Day Fiance with Sophia Alexandra. And also The Good Thief. All 8 episodes out now. Tweet I like is from Will Sennett at Sen_Spud. Tweeted, my grandpa just texted me, I'm so proud of Millie Bobby Brown. But here's the kicker. My grandpa died before I was born. Such a stupid fucking Wilson, thing. But you love it. You love it.
You love it, don't you, folks? A couple tweets I've been enjoying. Eden Dranger tweeted, before buying something online, ask yourself, do I want to get an email from this company for the rest of my life? And then Katie Delaney tweeted, the movie Final Destination was really like, we got your ass. Now you're afraid of a cool breeze, a leaky faucet, and the concept of electricity.
Oh, yeah, I saw that tweet. That's a good tweet.
Oh, my God. Yeah, fucking pools. Every time I think about like going in a pool, I'm fucking scared.
Wait, why? What happened to that one?
You never saw the one where like the person got sucked to the bottom of the pool by the pool drain?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I just put that. I remember having to watch that shit. Again, you know, I don't like the horror shit, but I remember.
Every time I think about putting my like sealing my asshole over the pump of a pool.
Yep.
Because I'm pretty sure somebody's asshole gets disemboweled by the suction of a pool pump.
Happens all the time.
Yeah. Anyway, that is, of course, I should let you know that's implied. And when I go in a pool, I immediately race to the bottom and stick my asshole on the
cannonball. That's why he's always cannonballing.
Yeah, it's like it's like a cat rubbing its head on something.
So there he goes. Yeah. All right. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Hey, Miles, what's a song? I almost said, what's a song? What's a song?
Interesting.
Sorry, this is going to be a long episode, guys. What's a song? And then secondly.
Yeah, and what's a song I like? So we're going to go out on this track called Home by a group called Coco Roco. K-O-K-O-R-O-K-O. They're a group of artists out of London, and they play sort of like this fusion of like jazz with Afrobeat music. And this one's like a nice like guitar playing with some really nice vocals. Very soothing, easy to listen to. You know, even no matter what genre you're used to listening to, you're gonna like this. It's called Home by Coco Roco.
There we go. All right. Well, we will link off to that in the footnotes, as well as Gone Native, which can't recommend enough.
Gone Native.
The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to a Cross Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.